I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
301-230-0980 is the number here on this Thursday edition of the Burgundy and Gold today. Linnell Willingham, Anthony Haney, taking you up to 7 o'clock, 6:45 that is, because we got Wizards basketball coming up on tap here tonight. They continue their preseason slate on the road in the Motor City against the Detroit Pistons. You can hear all of the action right here on the Team 980. I want to continue our conversation on the Washington Commanders. In about 12 minutes, though, we'll go out to our pal Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider. We get his thoughts on where things currently stand with the Burgundy and Gold. Plus, we'll take a spin around the National Football League as well, so make sure you keep it locked right here on the Team 980 for that. But before we took our last time out, took a couple of your calls on your biggest concern offensively and your biggest reason for optimism offensively. I want to switch over to the defensive side of the football, and this is where the conversation gets a little interesting. What is your biggest reason for optimism moving forward for this Commanders defense, and then your biggest reason for concern moving forward for this Commanders defense? I'm going to start with the optimism piece here. To me, man, on the defensive side, my biggest reason for optimism is I don't think they're that far off as a defense. I don't. You look at the way that they've played in coverage the last 2 weeks against LA and against Chicago, they were pretty damn good. They were pretty good in coverage against LA and then on Monday night against Chicago. You got crushed by big plays. The Roma Dunze crosser, the Luther Burden crosser, the DeAndre Swift chunk run. I can rattle off all the explosives. If you take those away, you were pretty damn good. And the thing that sticks out like a sore thumb about this Commanders pass defense, they are so reliant on this pass rush. And with Dorrance Armstrong being a DNP for the second consecutive day, I have real concerns. I do. But my biggest reason for optimism is that I don't think the defense is that far off. I think their inability to stop the run on Monday night. This is where I think I might be tripping, and this is why I don't believe what I'm saying all the way. I don't have the same conviction. It's not as matter of facty. Was what we saw on Monday night a one-off, or was this the second time that we've seen this? Because Atlanta had the same rushing attack. Hit you in the C-gap, hit you in the D-gap. It is what it was. They were getting the football consistently on the perimeter. You have a couple of different offenses left in this year, Ant-Man, that are going to attack you the exact same way.
Yep.
Right? Dallas is going to hit you on the perimeter a little bit because they've got beast tackles. Seattle's going to hit you there. Detroit's going to try to hit you there. Knowing the way Kansas City's running it, they're going to try to hit you there. Do we just have a problem on the edge and teams weren't trying to exploit it earlier in the year or what? Because that's how it's starting to feel for me.
I mean, I'm hoping that's not the case, but that's also, you know, one of the cons of playing in prime time. You see how to exploit teams. And when we play the Packers in prime time, what do? Oh, they motioned us to death, and we've seen motion literally in every game.
Yeah.
So now you go against a team like the Falcons, you go against a team like the Bears, who didn't have success running the ball, but somehow, some way, they got it going when they were able to, you know, go outside zone, you know, or just hit the boundary. So I think we're probably going to start to see that. And that was one of the questions I have for you anyway. Like, how are opposing teams going to look at this Washington defense and say, how should we attack them?
I think you're spot on with it. And my concern is like, my concern is, will they be able to fix this? Because Atlanta did it. Chicago did it. Detroit's going to try to do it. I know Seattle's going to try to do it. You're going to have to stop runs on the perimeter. Joe Witt Jr. earlier this afternoon on the perimeter run defense.
We got to set the edge. That wasn't a speed deal. It's the ability to set the edge and make sure that ball turns back. It wasn't that it was getting out there before because of speed. It was the edge setting on it.
Yeah.
Got to set the edge. And when he talks about setting the edge, he's not just talking about Dorrance Armstrong, Jacob Martin, and the defensive ends. The guys at corner, right? Mikey Saint Ristil, you're the dude that I'm primarily talking about here. He did not play the run worth a damn on Monday night. Mikey Saint Ristil looked totally disinterested in filling holes in the alley as the alley defender, being that nickelback. You saw Trey Amos get outflanked and give up runs to the edge. Our secondary was not good in defending the run on Monday night. They're as big of a problem as the edge rushers are in terms of stopping the run. And I don't know how that gets better, because you're not there's no Tom, Dick, or Harry that's going to walk through that door. You are who you are right now on defense. Someone's got to make the decision to man the hell up and decide that, hey, I got too much pride to allow this to continue to happen. Because I'm sick of it. You know how hard it was to watch? Dog, I'm going to go to the drive chart, because it's nasty work, yo. Seriously. It would drive a grown man insane how much they gave up on the ground to DeAndre Swift. 5.4 yards a pop. And it's not like there was some run in there of 58 yards that skews the average. No, no, no. They ran it smack at you all game long, hitting you on the perimeter. On that first drive, 7-yard run, 6-yard run. On the second drive for Chicago, you get a 10-yard run, 12-yard run. Every drive, a 5-yard run, 6-yard run, 12-yard run. They were giving up these explosive, I don't want to call that an explosive run, but it felt like there were so many runs of 6 or more yards throughout the course of that football game that you didn't really have a chance to consistently rush the passer, because when are you ever in obvious passing situations? That was my frustration, man. And I guess I got to go back and look at the defensive numbers and see how well they pressured Caleb. But my biggest reason for concern for the defense is that you had a new problem surface on Monday night, and that was your run defense.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
That's my biggest reason for optimism. I actually think they're getting close. The secondary is getting better. They're not giving up as many big plays. We were talking about a pre-show, Ant. Marshawn Lattimore, right now, over the last 2 weeks, has played as well as anybody in this secondary. Him and Trey Amos. Mikey Samer still. And this has been something that has been a reoccurring theme all season long. He didn't play well on Monday night, man. And I know he's a slot corner, and you're going to give up a lot of, you're going to be the most targeted guy. You're going to give up catches as a slot corner. That just is what it is. One area where Washington struggles at, and I think it's a big tell of how bad they are with tackling, because that's really my bigger issue too, is you don't tackle worth a damn. That's not going to just improve. Washington is 30th in the NFL in terms of yards after the catch allowed. 30th. That tells the story right there. When we give up completions, we're not even there to make the tackle sometimes. Like that's a bad look. I want to give you the numbers on Mikey Samer still here real quick. He is the most targeted corner on the Commanders, targeted 26 times. He's given up the most receptions with 17, and he's also given up the second most yards. Who do you think's giving up the most yards?
Don't say Sean.
Bobby Wagner.
Oh, Wagner.
280 yards given up.
I mean,
in coverage this year. Quarterbacks have a quarterback rating of 129.6 when targeting him.
Good gracious.
That's bodacious. I know. It's tough. Your biggest reason for optimism and concern moving forward for the defense?
My biggest concern is definitely the tackling. I would have thought after September, you know, we would have been in the thick of things and, you know, would have been found a rhythm. But for some reason, we're missing too many tackles, dude. dudes are falling 5, 6, 7 yards forward. Like, I want these dudes to fall backwards. Like, come on. So that's definitely my biggest concern. Biggest reason for optimism. I mean, I guess we're getting teams off on third downs. I just would rather have those guys in third and long or, you know, not third and manageable. I think Caleb and the Bears, they had too much success on first and second down, so they didn't have a lot of third down opportunities. But when they were put in those positions, we got them off the field. So I think that's trending upwards, like our third down.
Third down defense, I would say, to your point, is trending up. I think we gave you the numbers earlier on their red zone defense. They're forcing teams to kick field goals more times than not, which is why I look at, like, and they turned it over 3 times offensively on Monday, and we still forced Chicago into field goal attempts. Throughout that game, and Chicago only had 2 touchdown drives, if I'm not mistaken. You had the touchdown drive to start the second quarter. Then you had 3 touchdown drives, excuse me. How'd they give up 3 touchdown drives and they scored 25 points? That's 21 points. And they had a field goal sprinkled in here.
Oh, they went for 2.
They had 2 field goals sprinkled in here.
Are you sure they had 3 touchdowns?
Touchdown drive in the fourth quarter.
Caleb scored on the
touchdown
run.
Drive in the second quarter. Oh, no, scored. Only 2. Only
they only
2.
Had 2.
What more you want from the defense? You only gave up 2 touchdown drives. One of them was off of a short field because Bill fumbled at around 35.
Yeah.
What more do you want from the defense? They're less talented than the offense is.
Yeah.
They don't have the personnel. Yet you coughed it up 3 different times, and they only gave up 2 touchdown drives, and one of which was a 3-play, 35-yard drive. Get off of the line of the defense.
Yeah.
They're being overly critiqued, overly scrutinized, overanalyzed, and a lot of y'all don't know what the hell y'all talking about. Think about situational football. That's what's most important. Red zone and third down. They're kicking ass. What more do you want? 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll go inside of the film room. Coming up next with Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. We'll ask him some of the questions we asked you about the Washington Commanders. Biggest reason for optimism, biggest reason for concern on both sides of the ball. Baldy gives us that next.